This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, it's Brock and Salk here at 710 ESPN Seattle. Hope you guys are having a good morning, man. Hope it's a good day. It's beautiful out. This is the best time of year. I was talking to somebody in the office yesterday, not anyone you guys would know, not a part of our programming team here, and they were just having a bad day.
Was this just a PR gal?
You guys know who this person is, but not everyone in the audience knows. It was not just some promotions girl, as our old PD once said. No, not that. And they were really having just a tough day, really rotten, worried about this and that at work. And I just turn around, look at it out. They're like, yeah, it's really nice. Like, you just can't be that mad while you're here. I think I was out with Bert Breer last night, who was in from NFL Network. And we met over by Lake Union because I wanted him to, you know, see the view and this and that. And he's like, dude, forget the view. I just drove here from the east side over that floating bridge. Are you kidding me? This is the most beautiful place on earth.
Yep.
He couldn't shut up about how nice it was here. He's like, how much is it like this? Like, 3 months. He's like, well, then what? I'm like, yeah, then it's not so nice for the other nine, but don't worry about that. Seahawks will get underway tomorrow night. We'll have the game here, of course, on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Oh, you dropped something over there.
What is that?
Bert Breer's name.
Oh, please.
You put that in your pocket.
Please. You think that's a name drop? I'm dropping the. If I was going to drop a name, believe me, it'd be bigger than Bert. Please. He and I are from the same small town.
Whatever, dude.
It's called.
Did you just like compliment yourself there too? Like, oh, I have much bigger names. No, I don't.
Like, he's not worth dropping. We're both from Sudbury. It's like being from Braddock, Pennsylvania. It's not that big a deal. But when you're from there, you mention it and you understand, Lydia. It's a Braddock/Sudbury thing. Don't worry about it. I had a great introduction plan for Kurt Menefee, but now I'm just going to bring him on because you guys are being jerks. Hi, Kurt. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes.
Well, hopefully I'm a big enough name for you, at least for this segment.
Well, Brock's really the one. He's got everybody who's cool, all the national guys. Brock's got all their numbers in his phone. And so, you know, I'm just a guy. Once in 10 years, I hang out with a national writer, and I get ripped for it. Can you believe it?
That's the curse of being the other guy. Tell me about it.
That's true. That's very true. Isn't it hard being catty to these incredible personalities that we work with?
Yeah, but it's almost like, though, you were talking about the view at the VMAC and how special it is. I mean, obviously it is. But it's also our jobs. I kind of like that, too. You know, no matter how bad the day is, you kind of realize what you do and what you get paid for. And it's a little bit hard to kind of be upset and complain that you got to be the caddy to, you know, some great talent. Like you got with Brock.
All right, you guys got to listen. We're going to set this up here. We've got some tickets to give away to tomorrow night's game. Listen closely to Kurt Menefee here for the next few minutes, and we will ask a question when it's all said and done to give away these tickets to tonight's game, or tomorrow's game, excuse me.
What did you see in your 2 days out of practice, Kurt? Anything jump out to you with the Seahawks that you got to take in their practice?
Yeah, I got to see a couple days last week. Go again today. I think for me, it's trying to answer some questions, and obviously the games will go a long way in doing that. But, you know, I go back and I think, you know, I have to calculate, it's my eighth or ninth year doing Seahawks preseason. This may be the most intriguing team I've been around. You know, usually it's been a matter of, you know, the Seahawks are good. How good are they? Or, you know, in the Jim Moore year, you know this team's probably not a playoff team. This team, I don't think you know. And I think that's the question. I mean, how good is this team? You know, they're probably not Super Bowl caliber anymore, but, you know, can they be good enough to win an NFC West that, you know, yes, the Rams have the best talent probably overall in the division, but I think they've got some issues that, you know, they may have to overcome. And the other two teams, I'm going to see how you can say at least right now that they're better than Seahawks. So I think the door is kind of open there in their division, but they've got to answer some question marks. I mean, I think we look at it and, you know, we know where they are. You know, the right side of the offensive line, the defensive line, the secondary. You know, how good can some of those young kids be? How quickly can they come up to speed? You know, will there be a leadership void with some of the big voices that we're used to hearing, you know, being outside the locker room, or will that help? You know, so I think to me, it's not as much about the actual X's and O's when you're watching practice. Because, again, a lot of this is going to develop over the preseason, over the regular season. But this, to me, is really an intriguing team.
Is there one position that you're most excited to watch come tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think that I'm looking to, if you want one, I'll give you the running backs. You know, I'm really interested because I think that is definitely an upgrade to where they've been the last couple of years. I mean, I think if you look at Penny, he seems to be a special kind of guy, both as a running back and a receiver. Again, it's in practice, but he does seem to be special. I think Carson's as good, if not better, than he's ever been, and he's bounced right back. And I think they've got some depth there. But I'm also intrigued to see this wide receiver position. You know, we know what Doug Baldwin's going to be. He's not going to play in the preseason, most likely, sounds like. But, you know, who else is able to step up? I mean, who's going to be that number two guy? Tyler Lockett, who has looked really good in practice, going to be the guy now who can be a number two, and especially as he goes into the final year of his contract? What does Brandon Marshall have left? I mean, no matter what happens with his feet and his age, he's still a big body, and the kind of big body they haven't really had in the red zone from a wide receiver position in a long time. So I think those are the two places that I would focus on right away.
You know, Kurt, you've been doing this, as you mentioned, for a while here with the Seahawks in the preseason, and I think the one thing we can usually tell right off the bat, whether we're willing to admit it to ourselves or not, is what's going on with the offensive line. Maybe not each individual player, but I could think back in a couple of these preseason games where you've watched them and been like, okay, well, hopefully that's just a preseason problem, and then it hasn't been. It seems like it's very indicative. What do you hope and expect to see there with the offensive line, which has been so problematic the last few years?
I think two things. One is that you're right. I mean, every year, I think this entire organization and the fan base and the media, everybody sees in the preseason, they go, well, Tom Cable will figure it out. Well, there's no Tom Cable to figure it out now. And I think the organization took that approach. I think, you know, you look at a left tackle like Duane Brown, who is as solid as there is in the league, and you look at the left side of the line, really, from the center on over, and I think that they're established there. And this is the first time you can say really and genuinely they've got three guys who are going to be the starters, who are going to be solid, who they don't have to worry about. The right side, you know, I'm interested to see. I mean, can DJ Fluker's knees hold up? Or is J.R. Sweezy brought in to be the guy there? You know, can Ifedi be the guy he was drafted to be at right tackle? If not, who fills in there? So I think there's still that question mark. But, you know, we go into preseason normally with this team, and there are five question marks and trying to figure out who's playing what position and are they shifting guys around and all that. So I do think, and I talked about the improved running game, I think that the fact that they've kind of established the line to at least a solid basis now is going to help that. It's going to help Russell. It's going to help this offense entirely.
Kurt Menefee of Fox and NFL Sunday show there every single Sunday with Howie, Terry, Jimmy. The whole crew coming back, by the way. You guys all, I'm straight.
Everybody will be back.
Everyone's right back at it again on those Sunday mornings, a must watch. You're kind of in an interesting place, Kurt, because we've talked to a lot of national guys this offseason. Even Cowherd last week blew up. Well, here was Cowherd with us last week talking about Coach Carroll.
So this has always been my pushback on Pete Carroll. Kumbaya, high energy, players talk, get into politics. And what are you left with? The worst offensive line in football, your star players smacking you around, Richard Sherman now is ripping the team. You know, to me it feels like Seattle right now is a mess. Pete's got 1 year left in his deal. I don't think it ends well.
And we've heard that. I mean, Coward has said it. Others have said this is a 4-win team, a 5-win team. You know, some of the national voices, you hear that a whole lot more than we do here locally, as close as we are to it. You kind of get a chance to get both. You get the national side of it. You do this preseason, so you get awfully close to it. Where do you find yourself in that spectrum of whether or not Pete can get this done and turn it with a new roster?
You know, and not to bail out, but I kind of go back to the first answer I gave you. I'm intrigued because you don't know what this team is. I mean, this team could win 4 games or it could win 10. I mean, I think the potential is that varied because there's so many question marks. I don't think they're as bad as a 4 or 5 win team, in all honesty. I mean, I think they're probably in that 7. To me, there's no difference between a 7-9 team and a 9-7. You just get a couple breaks in a game here or you don't. But I think they're kind of in that range. But when you're in that range, you lose a couple games you're not supposed to, and next thing you know, you're 5-11, or you win some, and you're 10 wins. So I know it sounds like I'm all over the place, but that's where I go back to. I don't have a feel for this team. And I don't know if the organization has a feel for the team because there are so many question marks and they are relying on so many new faces and so many young faces. And don't forget, it's not just the players. I mean, there's a big turnover in this coaching staff. So you've got a lot of guys that haven't worked together, that haven't gotten Pete's system, so to speak, that have to kind of do it in the face of battle as the season goes on. So, you know, I don't think they're as horrible as a 4 or 5 win team, but I really don't know what the bottom is or what the ceiling is.
What's going on the Fox set this year? What's new this year? What do you guys have going on?
Yeah, same old guys.
Nothing, no new graphic. Can we get no new robots, nothing?
No, what did you say to me the other day?
Come on, there's got to be something.
How many years are you all celebrating together?
This is Well, this is the 25th year of the NFL on Fox.
Wow.
Which, of course, yeah, it's been number one every year. We'll throw that out there. This is my 13th year hosting the show, so I've been there more than half. Michael's the young guy on the set, and this is his 11th year.
That's amazing. You've been there now more than half that set. I remember when you were the new guy on the set. You've been there now more than half of the time.
Wow.
Time flies, man. It goes back to, it's a great, great situation. Why would I leave? Why would I go anywhere else? As long as they'll have me, I'll be there.
Was that hard when you first, I mean, they kind of had a good chemistry there already. You joined 13 years ago. Was that hard?
I tell you what, it's almost like being a player at Ruck. You can answer this. I mean, it's like, I went in, and the thing was, it was number one for 12 years. So if it's not number one, and I'm the new guy, the fingers get pointed that way. So I remember David Hill, who was the chairman of Fox, who hired me, and I said, David, what's your advice? He goes, my advice to you is don't F it up. I'm like, okay, well, there's no pressure on me as we go into this thing, So, but my pressure was never to, people like, oh, you replaced JB, and, you're great at it and all that. First of all, JB could not have been better to me. We were friends before, but during the audition process, gave me some helpful advice about what each guy likes and helped me kind of set up to kind of ace the audition, but also I never looked at it replacing JB. My goal was to be the best I could be and to keep the show going. And I think if you accepted the challenge that way, then the pressure to kind of keep it going. But the pressure is kind of internalized, and it's about you. It's not about trying to be someone else or trying to do what other people have done. And I think you know, Rock, you'll look at it the same way when you're a player. You're coming in, and you may be the guy who's replacing Dan Marino or whoever the player is. You don't look at it that way. You look at, okay, how can I be the best and make this team keep going? And that was the challenge. And, once you got there and the guys embraced me and, we wound up playing cards together and drinking together and all that kind of stuff, then you realize, okay, everybody's just cool. It's another group of guys. And as long as I'm accepted, I do my thing, then this train will keep rolling.
13 years, man.
That's cool. Cool story. I didn't know that about JB too. That's it's always nice to hear when people in the business are nice to each other like that. So that's another cool part of your story. Kurt, we appreciate it. We always like catching up with you this time of year. I love getting a chance to share Brock for a couple of days, even though he finds various other partners around the country to hang out with instead of me. So it'll be you here for a little while, and we'll look forward to watching it. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
I'm his game day brother. That's it.
I love it. There you go.
All right.
There's Kurt Menefee. Kurt Menefee from Fox. He's doing the game tomorrow night on TV. Of course, we'll have it here on the radio pregame show at 5, game time at 7 o'clock on 710 ESPN Seattle. All right. What do you want to ask?
I got the question.
All right. We got a question for the people in order to win tickets to tomorrow night's game.
Pretty easy. The one position group he's most excited to watch, the most intrigued, the most excited to watch, Kurt Menefee, come kickoff time tomorrow night, going to be
one position group that Kurt Menefee is most excited to watch. Be the first person with that answer. 206-421-3776. 421-3776. Pretty cool.
And you win tickets tomorrow night.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back. We got a bunch of things. We got to get back to Felix, man. This is the story of the day. Felix Hernandez last night getting lit up all over the map. I mean, he started off, actually had a couple of really good innings to start. And then after that, it just completely imploded on him. It was almost like his little laughing at Adrian Beltre thing broke the spell. And after that, it was just bombs away on Felix Hernandez. Everybody got an opportunity to hit a home run. Profar hit a jack. Odor hit a jack. Adrian Beltre got in the action.
He muscles this to center. Maben going back. He is at the track. The wall leaps, and he can't make the catch this time. It's gone. Dead center field. Beltre with his sixth this season.
Yeah, at that point, the route was on. Solo shot for Beltre. Two-run shot for Odor. Three-run shot for Profar. Throwing a couple of Kyle Seager errors in there, and it just went from bad to worse for Felix. Gives up 11 runs on the day in six innings, but the real story is, A, they made him wear it, and B, if before this game there was a question about whether or not Felix would stay in the rotation, you would think this would make it easy. Let me complicate it a little bit more for you, because this came out just a little bit ago.
Okay.
Scott Servais saying today at his pregame meeting with the media that Erasmo Ramirez was going to need another start, another rehab start, because there were some mechanical issues in his last one. So if Erasmo needs another rehab start, then what? I think the plan is and was for Erasmo to make Felix's next start. What do you do if he actually isn't healthy or ready to go in that spot? Are you going to give Felix another start after this? At this point, do you bring up Bergman? I mean, I think you have to do something else now. If I'm the Mariners, I have to do something
else. Felix goes on the DL. Felix needs to go on the DL with a back or an ankle. He's got to go on the DL, just like he did with Nicasio. Nicasio was broken. We talked about that. He's just done. I mean, just so many times you can run out there in a playoff chase, in a playoff race. You're fortunate that Oakland finally loses to the Dodgers last night. You still find yourself two games back. You wrap up this series in Texas this morning, 11 o'clock first pitch. Then you go to Houston. Then you go to Oakland. So you're right in the midst of a playoff push. Nicasio goes on the DL. I think Felix has got to go on the DL. And whether it's going to be that ankle sprain from last night, Molly did ask me a question. Either Molly or someone asked me a question. Well, what if he doesn't want to? Can a player ever say, hold on a second, my ankle isn't hurt, I'm fine?
They can, but usually these things get worked out behind the scenes so that it's not embarrassing to the player.
I would hope not. Yeah. I would hope player could understand that two of his last three starts have been the most embarrassing of his entire career.
Yeah, I would think it would be a welcome reprieve for him to go try to figure it out instead of being embarrassed and sent to the bullpen. Hey, Felix, here are your choices. You can go be in the bullpen or you can go sit in the DL for a week or so.
The closest thing I can think of was when Mike Matheny said that Yadier Molina was getting benched because he was tired.
Right.
And then Yadier Molina was basically like, keep my name out your mouth. I'm not tired. I'll let you know if I'm tired.
And then Mr. Matheny got
And then worked out well for him.
Not going to work here anymore anyway, goes Mike Matheny. See you later. So
no, even with that news this morning that Scott Servais shared with the press that, no, Felix got to go on the DL.
I agree with you.
He just does not have it anymore. And the one... You know, I guess the one comp that comes to my mind is just a boxer. You know, when you're a pitcher, you're exposed. Man, you're out there on that island. It's just you. And when you don't have it and you get just bashed and you get hit hard and it's not for a season, it's not for a start, it's not for a half dozen starts, it's for an entire season now. And the trend line has been going that way, that he just does not have it. And he's getting punched right in the face, can't protect himself time and again. You throw in the towel. Right, I almost tweeted that out last night. That you know, Apollo, just Creed, when Drago took him down, just throw the towel, throw the towel.
But they weren't going to do that last night. They didn't have the ability to do so. They needed him to wear it in order to help them win today. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that there wasn't a little bit of like, yeah, oh well, sorry, pal, you don't want to do the work. We're not going to be here to bail you out. Unfortunately, if you're not going to help us, we're not going to be there to help you. So, I don't know. I said it earlier. I know there are a lot of people who are going to feel a lot of sympathy for Felix Hernandez.
We haven't heard that this morning.
No, but I think they're out there. We've heard some of it. I think there are people out there who will feel some of that sympathy of he gave us his best years and there was nothing really we could do here.
I certainly have some of that. I certainly found no joy last night in watching him get punched in the face. None whatsoever. And if there are struggles for him off the field, if there are challenges for him with work ethic, if there is just not a buy-in because of the hard-headedness and just the steadfast belief in himself, you know, I can have a little bit of empathy for all of those things. But I don't like seeing him just get bashed. And he got bashed last night, and I'm done seeing it.
I'm on your side where I am totally loyal, but don't you think there's also a part of Felix that craved that type of attention where he was the best thing in town? He was the reason people came to the ballpark. He was the saving grace of this team in many ways. I mean, that inspired this type of, like, just insane loyalty because it was the bright spot when you had all
you think
of these.
I'm just trying to understand. Are you saying you think Felix liked being the one bright spot on
the
Mariners
only spot?
I'm just saying,
you're speculating that maybe that's the case.
I'm just saying that maybe you get used to that type of feeling, and then once you're the, you know, you're a small fish in a bigger pond, or you know, you're it's just different.
I think that may very well be the case. And there's no way to know. I mean, we're speculating on what motivated him. But, you know, when everyone talks about he's ours and you can't have him, and that's the Felix Hernandez that means so much to people, well, why was that? Is he just loyal? Is that it? Maybe. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. Is he just a loyal guy? Yeah, but he got paid big, big, big bucks to be loyal here, $20 million plus every year in this last contract. Yeah, Lydia, I think there's a possibility of that. If he goes to New York or Boston, he's not the big show. He's just part of the show. The team is the show in all of those places. And if you come here, you're the show. He was Felix Hernandez. You've got the King's Court. You've got the hero worship. And all of a sudden, all of that starts to go away. And he sure sounded last night like he could not handle it, like he didn't know what to do with it all. Felix sounded lost, I would say, after this game.
I mean, what I can say, I can't say anything about it. Just one of those things.
There's nothing left to say.
No, I'm frustrated, but I can't say it.
He doesn't have answers. Lydia said that after two starts ago. He just doesn't have answers. Wade LeBlanc gets hit, right? He gave up a bunch of home runs in his last start. He finds new answers. right? Marco Gonzalez in game is going to find answers, even says as much. Like, hey, last year I know I'd have been bashed, been out of that thing. But in game, I can make an adjustment. I can find answers. Mike Leake can find some answers, right? He's got enough in his arsenal to get to. James Paxton, you know, is learning. He's a little bit more challenged athletically. Like, if it's not in the slot or he's not there, it's a little bit problematic. Felix doesn't have answers. And if you don't have answers, you can't pitch in a playoff race.
Right.
And that's where you are now.
And this isn't about loyalty at that point. It's no longer a loyalty issue. It becomes very simply an issue of trying to win. Loyalty to your fans. And that's why that loyalty thing gets me. I mean, maybe that's finally it. Maybe it took me 2.5 hours to figure it out. But when I hear people talk about loyalty to Felix Hernandez, I think my response from now on is just going to be, what about loyalty to your fans? Who should the Mariners organization or any other organization be more loyal to? It's players or it's fans? It's individual players or the fans that pay their salary? And the answer is you, the fans. And any time they find themselves being more loyal to a player, allowing them to go out there and run them out over and over again when they're no longer in their prime, signing Earl Thomas or any of these guys when they're in the late stages of their career and you don't think it's the right move to help your franchise grow. It's not about loyalty to the player. It's about loyalty to your fan base. It's about being loyal to the group of people that pay the salaries, come to the ballpark or the stadium, watch you on television, root for you, buy your jerseys, etc.
Doesn't that have to be both? I mean, shouldn't be mutually
You can only
exclusive,
go so far
right?
in your loyalty to your players, man. You can only go so far. Is it nice to run an organization that way? Of course. Is it nice to be a place where people want to work, where you show a level of appreciation for those players? Yes. But at some point, you've got to make the hard decisions for two people. For the groups of fans out there that deserve a winning product, and for the other players on that team who are busting their butts and trying to work hard and don't need to be saddled with a player that you're just being loyal to.
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work, man, and you know it, and you say it all the time. Yep. You cannot fool that locker room. You cannot fool that clubhouse. Felix is not fooling that locker room or that clubhouse, man.
Nope.
Now, maybe it's not going to be Erasmo Ramirez, and maybe it'll show just how bad this thing is if it's Rob Whalen or if it's Ross Detweiler. I mean, there's some guys who pitched last night for Tacoma, according to Divish. Like, that'll show you just how serious this is, where they're willing to run someone out there who's not even supposed to be up at the major league level, but they'll do it because they don't want Felix to make another start. I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit.
Well, maybe they can pick that guy up from the Jays that was on the street with 11 ERA and a 2 whip, and he could throw 6 shutouts.
As long as he gets to pitch against the Mariners, he should be just fine.
Rothschild.
Yeah, whoever comes up doesn't get to start against the Mariners. They have to start against the Astros. It's a totally different situation. All right, good stuff. We can grab some more calls on that if you guys want to jump aboard. 206-421-3776. Yes, we have given away the tickets already, so no reason to keep calling on that. But we do have the lines open if you want to talk some Felix or... A couple comments made by Pete Carroll yesterday that I know we want to come back to leading into tomorrow night. It's all next here on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Breakfast table in an otherwise empty room.
Or what does he say here?
Violins
or violence?
Violence.
Is it?
Pretty positive.
Not violins?
Doesn't
Young
really
girl.
Go with the song.
Violins. Is that her own attention? She was like a violinist.
Violinist, yes.
Yeah, don't you think? You think it's violence?
So I think I got $100 in my wallet. If you can sing Yellow Ledbetter word for word, I will give you $100.
You know I can't do that. Yes. You know Eddie Vedder can't even do that. Well, you could offer Eddie the same bet, and he'd be like, I'll pass.
Still
hard pass.
Still one of my favorites that we ever did. The Lou Holtz to Yellow Ledbetter.
I don't think we have that anymore. The system ate it, I think.
No, our system doesn't hold stuff anymore.
No, I think it eats things that you ask for all the time for some reason. The things that Brock always asks for that the Howdy and the group in the back doesn't really love.
I get these blank stares like, no, dummy,
that's in
not
the system.
In there anymore.
System ate that. Sorry about that. Not sure what to tell you. So, all right. Few things. Any last thoughts on Felix Hernandez before we move on? I had the phone lines were locked, so I'm sorry if you were trying to get in there. Any last words and thoughts on Felix Hernandez for the day?
I kind of spent my whole gas tank.
You're done.
Yeah, I'm kind of like him. I'm kind of on fumes.
Are you okay if it's Rob Whalen or
yes.
someone like that?
Yeah, he's just yes, I am.
You're okay with it being just a guy?
Yep, I don't need to see the king go in there anymore. You ever watched what was the wrestling movie with the old wrestler that tried to come back?
It was called The Wrestler.
There you go.
With Mickey Rourke?
There you go.
Yeah, The Wrestler.
It was called The Wrestler? That's what
you ever
watched
that wrestling movie with the old wrestler?
It was called The Wrestler.
Huh.
Yeah, do you ever see that movie?
No.
Where
he was faking bacon, still taking roids at the end. His body was just done. He was just done. He's just spent. Just can't do it anymore. And he didn't want to see him go in the ring. And I don't want to see Manny Pacquiao fight anymore. And I don't need to see this Felix go out and get bashed time and again. It's too many starts, too many months of it. Put him on the DL. And if he wants to reconfigure things for his final year in his contract, great. If you can find somebody in the National League, maybe down by his new home in Miami, right, that will give you a couple B prospects and, I don't know, take a couple $1 million of his salary next year, fine.
If you're mad about this, for those that are mad, and we do have the phone line starting to buzz again on this, so I do kind of want to wrap this up, but 206-421-3776, if you find yourself mad, frustrated, whatever it is it with Felix or is it with the organization? Like, where's the frustration? And I don't mean necessarily this current regime. I mean, is it with wasting Felix's prime years, which clearly they did? Is it with not trading Felix when you had the opportunity to a few years ago when he was still great? Or is it just with Felix for allowing himself to get into this position at age 32 instead of giving it his all during that time?
Can I give you my answer, which is probably a terrible one in neither of those? I'm most frustrated with the timing. Probably like Rockstar Bob, whose timing when it came to, who's an immensely talented musician, whose timing just came in that business at just the wrong time with the wrong manager, or the quarterback that was in the wrong scheme at the wrong place with a bad coach and it just didn't work out, or a house that I just missed the market on that I should have put on a year ago, or any number of those just confluence of just timing, just the timing of this, that his prime was at a time when your organization was bad.
Man, you know what? That's life. I don't know. I mean,
it is, and it's a weak answer.
Wouldn't have been nice if UW had these guys and these guys, if the 2000 team was also there with the 04 team. Like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. I mean, like, you're
good.
Well, it
kind of worked
good
that way with Cam and Earl and Sherman. Russell came along and all that wonderful
together
timing. And Russell came in not in 2009 or 2010, but he came with 2 years of a defense that was built and ready and needed the difference.
You know what,
maker,
man? They had put together that pitching staff in 2010 to do it. They had the pitching staff in 2010 to get it done. Unfortunately, Milton Bradley, Sean Figgins, and Casey Kochman and some of the other guys on that team found a way to destroy it. 206-421-3776. Grab Don, who is in Seattle. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Obviously, last night's start is going to be able to untie the hands of Jerry and Scott, because obviously Felix has built so much equity. And, Brock, you know it. Great players have done great things for a long time. You build equity. And he has flashed things that you're hopeful that it would come back. Obviously, it hasn't, right? For 10-plus years, he was the most dominant pitcher in the game. Never said a word. Never said, go get me more offense or I'm leaving. He signed a long-term contract. He's loyal, right? He stayed with the Mariners when he could have left, because he started as probably as an 18-year-old, you know, obviously international kid that spent his whole entire career. You know, I listen to you guys every morning about get rid of Earl, this and that. Well, Felix has never been Cam or Earl or Sherm that has held out and ran his mouth. And the thing I struggle the most is when we're talking about what he's not doing, how do you know he's not working his tail off, right? How do you know he's not trying to make the changes? It just hasn't worked for him.
Well, I mean, Don, we've said this before. I appreciate the phone call. Let me just make two quick points on the back end of it. One, maybe he should have. Maybe he should have said along the way, go get me some bats.
Why?
And I'm not, why? Maybe maybe winning could have been more of a priority instead of just doing his own thing. I mean,
no,
it,
I don't know. I think Kisofsky was absolutely wrong, because there are some real, real good competitors. They're good teammates. Russell Wilson is the same type of guy. He's not going to publicly go say, go get me this, go get me that.
That's fair. All right.
The selfishness. He's not a selfish guy. He's a great, great competitor. He pitched his tail off for a horrible team, and he kept the city alive for 10 years when we're only going to win every fifth day, right? And the only reason you're going to win every fifth day was because of this guy.
I mean, you know, they generally really, didn't win really those days, which is sort of the weird irony of it. But, Don, the last thing I'll say is, you know, and we've said this on a lot of other issues before, you know, Brock and I don't generally say things willy-nilly about athletes without doing a little bit of research and a little homework. And if we're telling you that you know, Felix maybe didn't work as hard as he could have behind the scenes, we're not making that up out of thin air. I mean, that's information, and we're not going to give you our sources. We're not going to tell you everybody who tells us everything. But believe me, this is not a new or quiet situation about Felix Hernandez and the work ethic.
Yeah, in fact, Kyle, maybe, I know we have this. We don't have Yellow Ledbetter, but Shannon was on with us a couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago talking about Felix, and she was as strong. And Shannon Dreyer, you're going to find Mariners Insider, you're going to find one of the biggest fans isn't appropriate. She's a journalist. She's a reporter.
But she's been close to Felix for a long time and a big supporter.
Very much so.
Yes.
And, you know, you got that, Kyle? Here was Shannon with us about a month ago talking about Felix specifically.
I think Felix has changed a lot since then. I don't think that he really listens to anybody. I think that he has in his head what he is. I think he might be starting to see what the reality of the situation is right now. But I'm just saying just now starting to see that.
So, you know, that's a bit of that, Don, that we hear. And you know, obviously Shannon's passing on a lot of what she hears. He just doesn't listen. He's not listening. He's not sitting in those bullpen meetings.
Congratulations. You've made the top
not
five.
Not you, Don. Oh, I'm putting Don in the top five.
Oh, you are?
I'm putting Don in the top five.
Put it on the board!
I completely disagree with his point, but that should not prevent you from being in the top five. Don was a really good, strong caller.
What are the implications of this, though? You see who's number five.
Who's number five? Roger and Tacoma. Oh, Roger's out. Roger could be out. That's fine. Or maybe Brian and Tacoma, the angry little elf guy. He could fall out.
What ended up happening? I was gone. Last I'd heard, Brian tweeted you guys and said that
haven't
your jokes weren't
since.
Funny.
Oh, yeah, haven't heard from him since. Get him out. Okay. Right, not even a caller anymore.
Do you want to go? You want to move Roger up to four? Or do
you
want to
put
Don right
there? No, you can
just
put Don in at number four. I like a good disagreement. Yeah. That was a good argument. He argued his point. That's great.
Top five.
Plus, Brock, you're not going to believe who's on the phone right now. Another old-time caller of ours, Tony, is in Bellevue. What's going on? Is this Tony the tennis coach in Bellevue?
It is.
What's up, Tony?
Yes.
I'm still kicking.
Thank God.
Okay. Gentlemen, from the coach's perspective, I don't understand a thing. You know, when a pitcher is having difficulty, and I'm not talking just Felix. What is that coach doing? What is he watching? Because there mostly are some stuff in the technique. Whether he didn't sleep well and he cannot do something or something, it's in the technique. Why can't we change? You know, in tennis, they don't allow you to coach during the match.
Mm-hmm.
But because they know that they could make, and that's a good coach, could make a difference right away.
Tony, what if you have tennis elbow and you just don't have the pop anymore and you just can't serve at 110 and you serve at 85? What do you do then?
Now, do I love my team? Because the money is there guaranteed. If I love my team, then I will say, listen, I am not good enough. I can't right now.
Right.
Let's do something.
But the thing is, there are people who succeeded that 85-mile-an-hour serve. They learn how to spin it. They learn how to place it. They learn how to command it.
But if he cannot make the adjustment.
Yeah, but he's a competitor, man.
He's unwilling to make the adjustment.
I think that's the key part of it, is just how willing has he been to do the work in order to either get the velocity back up or to have the spin that he needs on it.
Did that feel as good to you as it did to me?
Hearing Tony?
Just hearing
blast
Tony?
Blast from the past, man.
Man.
Big time blast from the past.
I was wondering where you went, Tony.
Tony is full of wisdom.
If I hear Larry the Skunk this week, I'll just be mad.
Well, Phil the Skunk. But
whatever.
If you hear from Larry, that would also be quite something.
You mean Phil the Skunk?
And if I hear from Paul Bunyan, too.
No, that's actually his name.
Oh.
John Bunyan.
If I hear from him, I'll be
John
sad
Bunyan,
as well.
Larry the Skunk. Should be quite a week already here. You're going to be really good, Brock. I think it's tomorrow night on that broadcast.
Yeah.
Try not to get all these names wrong.
Ooh-wee, there's some new ones, too.
There's some doozies.
Are you familiar with Marvin Bracey and Malik Turner? That's number 7 and 8 on the jersey, number 1 in the heart.
I wouldn't say that I'm like intimately familiar with those two particular guys, but I think I'm pretty generally aware of what they offer.
All right.
Let's answer your question. 710-710 powered by Coors Light. We're going to do that in here in just a second. Let me first give you the pitching matchup for today. It is Marco Gonzalez going for the Mariners and an old friend, Giovanni Gallardo, pitching for the Rangers today. That's the pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distillings BSB, Brown Sugar Bourbon. 710-710 powered by Coors Light. Excuse me?
The Rangers have only scored 11 runs per outing for Giovanni. That's all they did. It's the only run support they've given him per every outing. He's 5-1 this year.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign for Marco.
Come on, Marco.
He's going to have to work through all that. All right, 710-710, your texts, your questions. We'll answer them next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Every question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, wrapping this up with your question, 710-710, powered by Coors Light and the Mariner Baseball. Get a pregame show coming your way in a few minutes, and then 11 o'clock first pitch. from Texas. All right, let's see. Jerks. Sweet tea or lemonade in the summer. Sweet tea is so good. I mean, you can't really drink a lot of either. Neither is good for you.
No.
But sweet tea, like, once a year is so ridiculously good. Yeah. You go in the South, they give you some sweet tea. Oh. It's insane. Oh. It's so good. Even at, like, a Cracker Barrel, it's good.
You know what's surprisingly a key to both of those? I would argue, maybe you disagree, is getting the good pebbled ice. Like, you get the
Taco Time
or the Mod Pizza. You just kind of get that pebbled
that crushed ice almost.
Oh, yeah. Just like a little pebble.
You like that?
Oh, I don't know. It's just the absorption rate and everything else in the glass with the lemonade or the sweet tea is just clutch.
I mean, Taco Time ice is the best ice of all time.
It just
is. Hands down, yeah. Right?
I like a good ice cube, but I don't care for those ice crescents that you used to get that came out of your own freezer.
Don't like that.
Look like a little crescent, and they'd always like get stuck, and they turn sideways, and then the liquid would start to go out the sides of the glass and all over you. They're a mess. I don't know where anybody came up with the idea of the ice crescent. Bad idea. Bad idea, Gene.
Next question.
I'm told we got a birthday around here today, Brock.
We got four.
You got one in this room, that's for sure.
How do you have four birthdays on this day in our office of, 120 employees?
It's amazing.
It's a big day.
It's like probably the real humble.
Happy birthday, Lydia.
Oh,
27 years.
Happy birthday, Lydia. Do you like your birthday?
Thanks, guys.
Are you a big birthday person?
She didn't even announce it. She didn't tell any of us.
She's like you. We had to do a little research. Actually, your uncles all started texting the show.
Mm.
Uncle Ron.
Well, thanks, Ron.
Texted in. And another uncle. Your Uncle Marty.
They aren't, by blood, not my uncles, but I consider them my uncles, so thanks, guys.
Uncle Ron and Uncle Marty. And Uncle Terry.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
He's your favorite.
Do the ice cream and cake, Lydia. What are you waiting on? Let's go.
That's crazy. Good for you. Happy birthday.
Do you know who you share your birthday with in this building? And, of course, it's the selfless, servant-hearted, like Lydia, that would be willing to share their birthday with three others. Do you know the other three?
Me and Chris.
Chris Sullivan. Chris. Traffic guy, yes.
We high-five about it. Yep. Midge.
Midge. Yep. That's exactly
also,
right. The imaging.
And,
happy birthday, Midge.
I'm sorry. I don't know the fourth one.
Ursula.
Oh, Ursula. Sorry, Ursula. Wow. Happy birthday.
How about that?
I apologize.
That? And then you guys set the table 2 days from now for somebody else in that room.
Yes. This is the worst conversation ever. Okay, you're listening people that no one on our show has ever heard of.
Oh, really?
And when their birthdays are?
Oh, Fresh.
Happy
Fresh.
Early birthday, Taylor.
No one's ever heard of Fresh. Who's Fresh? Who's that guy?
It's a birthday boy.
Sure.
Next question.
Happy birthday, Lydia.
Happy birthday, Lydia.
Thank you, guys.
Jerks, you ever get a receipt when you get gas? I'm on a business trip.
Yeah, if it's deductible. Otherwise, I hit no.
Right. Do you get receipts for anything unless you're, getting reimbursed for it?
Not really.
Remember when Stacy told us she keeps every receipt all year
long?
Dear God,
why?
Every receipt.
But doesn't, your Visa company do that for you? You don't need to keep that. They'll just send you whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's digital, man.
Mm.
It's all digital.
Mm.
It's a digital age.
I believe there was a time that the IRS wasn't accepting credit card statements or line item bills of all that stuff, but now it's changed a little bit.
I would hope. Jerks, today apparently is National Sneak Some Zucchini Into Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
Weird.
Would you your neighbors laugh or pull out their gun on you?
I don't even know what that means.
It's a true story, though. Carmichael Dave was talking about it this morning. It's
really,
apparently a big thing.
That's a really dumb day.
You wouldn't want to sneak a zucchini onto your neighbor's deck or something?
I don't even know what that means.
What do you mean? I mean, it means exactly what it says it means.
Oh, you just throw a zucchini on your
neighbor's deck. No, you sneak it on there. You don't throw it on, then you would break the zucchini. You have to sneak it on carefully.
It's really dumb.
You have to treat the zucchini with a little bit of respect, bro. Is that too much to ask for?
That's not fair to Lydia's birthday. That's the stupidest day we've had.
Yeah.
How many of these different days do we have? Ice cream day,
it's a bad
day,
one,
fireworks day.
It is National Frozen Custard Day as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Today's the day 28 years ago I hurt my hand. So August 8th has always had a meaningful day to me. This year is maybe even cooler, though. Got to talk to Jim Abbott on this show about that day and have him read that story. So that was pretty cool. 28 years ago.
And we get to watch Shaquem tomorrow night?
That's awesome.
How cool is that story?
Doesn't sound like maybe he's not going to start, right? Because KJ's played.
KJ practiced yesterday. It looks like KJ's back.
Jerks, since this may be the end, what's your all-time favorite Felix memory?
Perfect game.
Are there any others, though? How about him yelling, "This is my house"?
That's pretty good, too. That's pretty good.
Shutdown performances in Boston or New York.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, man. It was good. I can do a pretty good Felix.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad.
I mean, it's not as good as Paisley's Franklin Gutierrez.
No.
That was legendary. That's pretty good.
Just want to thank you.
Yeah. All right, tomorrow we'll be talking a lot of Seahawks heading into their preseason game tomorrow night. Looking forward to doing that.
You're
going to
give me your four favorite storylines for tomorrow night.
I can't wait. I'll start thinking about them right now. I hope I can come up with four.
You better.
I can tell you for sure which players I can't wait to see. The list starts with Rashad Penny.
Well, we'll do that too.
All right, I've already given it away.
Way to go.
All right, Mariner baseball coming your way next. Pre-game show in a few minutes, and then game time an hour from now. Looking forward to it. Shannon Dreyer's got you moving forward. Until tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Brock, where's the hay?
Pretty good, man.
That's exactly right. It is in the barn. See you, everybody.
I'm done here.
Get to the chopper!